My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Studio.
You know, the article about Shiloh Sanders on CBSSports.com is a one-minute read. And basically what they're telling you are the facts of the case, of what they know and what has been alleged. And there was a judgment against Shiloh Sanders and the family when Shiloh was 15 years old. And he attacked a security guard at the high school that he was going to because the security guard wanted his cell phone. I don't know if there was a cell phone policy there or what the situation was. The security guard alleged that Shiloh attacked him. And in the article, they write that. And that's public knowledge for everybody to find out if you want to find it out. And there was a court case, a civil court case hearing, because the security guard sued the Sanders family and Shiloh, according to the article. And there was a judgment against Shiloh for $11.89 million. And Shiloh was not in court that day. Supposedly, in the article, they say they don't have a forwarding address for where Shiloh is. I can tell you where he is. He's at the University of Colorado. I don't know why that's in there. But and I guess there's going to be a day in court, I think, for Shiloh Sanders to tell his side of the story, whatever that side of the story is. But because he didn't show, there was a judgment against him, and that's why he had to file bankruptcy.
Yeah, I mean, is the one-minute read, who wrote that?
That was on CBSSports.com.
Because I'm also seeing that there was a column by
David Cobb and, you know, Carl Reed. That's who it looks like.
Yeah, see,
I just read it, and I don't know if it's that or if there's something else.
I think there's something else. I think it's from Dennis Dodd back in July.
Okay.
So this is one of the things that's in there is you may not have gotten the memo, but until further notice, the face of the new Big 12 is a bankable brand endorser coming off a 4-8 season. I guess that
maybe
line,
that is okay.
Maybe that that line.
Dennis Doodles.
It happens, man, with the Google.
Yes, I know.
Google finishes what you're typing, and Google thought that Boomer, instead of typing in Dennis Dodd, wanted to Google Dennis Doodles.
Right, exactly. Here we go.
Who is okay. Who exactly?
All right, so Dennis wrote an article about Colorado.
Yeah.
And maybe he took that as a, I did not read that article. I could read that one as well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is Deion Sanders has an issue with CBS. It's probably not a valid issue. I guess Zach Gelb got blown off by Deion Sanders because CBS Sports Radio used to be called CBS Sports Radio.
I understand that. Yeah. It says Deion Sanders may be the Big 12's top entertainer, but year two at Colorado will test his coaching chops.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, that maybe that has something to do with it, too. That the only reason I brought up that article is that's quoted. That article is quoted in a New York Post article.
Oh, I see. Okay.
About Deion Sanders hinting at reason for feud with CBS. So, It could be a combination. Who knows?
Well, listen, all you have to do is win. If you win, and, you know, he's got one of the best quarterbacks in college football, and he's got his two sons playing for him, and he certainly is a promoter. And like I said, at Jackson State, he did a great job. And he did everything that he was supposed to do there and more, for that matter, and put the you know, that school on the map. And, you know, you got to win. And if he wins, then his way of doing things is going to be accepted. If he continues to lose, he'll end up losing his job.
Yeah, and that's the way it works for everybody. Sanders worked. This is also from the New York Post article. Sanders worked for CBS from 2002 to 2004 on the NFL Today. You know anything about that?
Yeah, oh yeah, I know something about that. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's when I got there.
Mm-hmm. You and Dion, you've talked about, didn't always see eye to eye, right?
No, but that was fine. You know, he had a different perspective from mine, and he was defense, I was offense. He was white, he was black, I was white. You know, I mean, there were so many things about us that were so different from each other.
Yeah.
But we both love ball, and we both love talking about it.
Yeah, right. But, like, for example, you and Bart Scott, same stuff. You got along with him.
I love him.
Right.
Yes.
It's just something about Deion.
Shannon Person. Sharp, too.
Yeah, but Shannon Sharp was offense. I was trying to pick another defensive player.
Saying, yeah.
But I think it was more your personalities that didn't mesh, not so much your resume of who you were.
Our biggest beef that I remember was when he was talking about Michael Vick and Dan Reeves and how he didn't believe that an older white coach could handle a young black player like Michael Vick.
Okay.
But when you asked Michael Vick about Dan Reeves and how impactful he was in his career, it's totally opposite of what Deion thought at that time.
Sure.
So he wanted to fire Dan Reeves from the Falcons, which is fine. You can say that. I don't have a problem with that. But who did you want to replace him? Like, this is in the middle of the season. So if you're going to say fire Dan Reeves, which is fine, who are you replacing him with? Who do you think should be coaching the Falcons?
Did he say him?
And he said himself.
Right, yeah.
And then I said, you don't make our meetings. How are you going to make their meetings? And he didn't like it.
Was that on the air?
Yeah, he didn't like that. So
did people? That's a good line. Did people laugh?
I did.
Well, of course you did.
I think Dan Marino kind of was like feeling a little itchy.
Uncomfortable.
It was a little uncomfortable. Yeah.
Hey, Fleeks, do you think you could find that, or maybe Funhouse can find that NFL Today? Deion and Boomer arguing about Michael Vick and Dan Reeves. I wonder if it's out there.
And you know who? Jim Nance was the host.
Oh, boy, his butt cheeks were clenched during that thing.
Yes.
Probably popped out a corner.
Yeah, but, you know, listen, you know, things happen. And he went on to go to, you know, NFL Network and everything else. And he found, you know, he went to Coach Prime, Prime Academy. He started a school or something that ended up getting in trouble.
Defunct.
Yeah, exactly. So he did a lot of other things. You know,
it's an interesting individual.
I would say, you know, really the job that I had for 22 years is a great job. Don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful job, and you love the seat, and you love the people you work with. But it can get kind of monotonous at times.
Mm-hmm.
And the boredom sometimes leads you to arguments.
Yeah.
Just like it would here.
Sure. We don't argue a lot, though.
No, I mean,
we're not also bored.
Right, that's the point. And plus, we're not specific to one thing.
Talking about it over and over and over again, yeah.
Exactly. So, I remember that was a pretty intense conversation. And then we had another conversation around Thanksgiving.
He didn't like Thanksgiving?
He liked Thanksgiving. Okay. But this was when Lawrence Taylor was going on to 60 Minutes to promote his book.
Okay.
And that didn't go over well, my take on it versus his take on it.
Oh,
that didn't go over well either.
Dare I ask what the takes were?
Well, I mean, you can find them. They're easy. Like, I wasn't, and I remember Eric Mann was the producer at the time, not Drew Kalisky. And it was at the end of a Thursday night game. It was our game, and we were getting ready to go into 60 minutes. We had like 30 seconds left. And I criticized the book, and I criticized the whole thing. And Deion didn't have a chance to say anything before we got off the air, so he was very frustrated by it. So when we opened the show on Sunday, Deion got up and gave his, you know, soliloquy about, you know, I guess you would say, our different backgrounds and how we don't understand things. And he dragged Dan Marino into it. And I felt bad for Dan.
Dan's like, man, I'm just like, right. I want my feet up. I want to drink some coffee, talk some football, and cash
my
check.
Exactly. Dan.
I'm Dan Marino, well, goddammit.
Dan reacted the way that you would think that Dan would react. Hey, I didn't say anything. You know, it was kind of, and again, it was, you could feel the tension.
Yeah.
And our boss, Sean McManus, called a meeting and said, look, guys, the tension is palatable. We can feel it. We don't want to feel it.
Right.
It's Sunday morning football.
Yeah.
And I listened, and Deion didn't want to listen, and that was the end of it.
Wow. Man, oh, man. Yeah, Deion, he teeters from a man who really feels like he knows the right routes to success to a man who is completely discombobulated. Does that make sense? Like, he's it's like there are times where I'm like, wow, he really figured this out. This makes a lot of sense, and he's doing it right. To other times, I'm like, oh, my God, what a circus.
I told you, though, on TV, he was great.
I've seen it.
He was a showman. He was a great showman. That's why my buddy Kenny Wolfe asked me to do this in black and white show with him.
Yeah.
And at this time, he had left CBS, and he had moved back to Dallas, I believe.
Yeah.
And the show was going to be shot here in New York, and he did not want any part of it.
Yeah, it's too bad. That would have been a success.
I was good with everything he said except for, the thing about Dan Reeves and Michael Vick. That's the only thing I ever got upset about. Anything else he said, I either laughed at it or I thought it was a really good point, and it was a good argumentative point, which allowed us to be more engaged about the issues surrounding the particular teams we were talking about.
Well, it sounded like Deion was this his first foray into media at that point?
He also went back to play.
Okay.
He went back. That's what happened. He ended up going back to play with the Washington Redskins at the time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah. So
that was after the NFL Today?
I think it was, right after the NFL Today. Because I know that he felt like he still could play at a very high level.
Wow. I got to look back at what year that was. So it was 2000.
I want to say 4.
Yeah, well, it was 2002 to 2004 he was on the NFL Today.
Right, and I would think most of our conversations, I'm trying to think when Michael Vick got to Atlanta, I don't know if it was his rookie year or maybe his second year.
Yeah, the year he was with Washington, no, he actually went back and played with Baltimore in 2004, 2005.
It was Baltimore, okay,
Yeah.
So he signed a deal with Washington.
That was in 2000.
Right, and then I think he came to CBS after
retired.
That.
It said mid-season retired, so 3 years. So there's that 2001, 2, and 3. And then he went back to play at 37 years old for the Ravens. At 37 years old.
How about this?
04, years old, 05.
You know who I actually loved working with? Was Ray Lewis.
Really?
See, I know you don't like, but I'm just saying, just from a working perspective, working with him on camera and listening to his takes, which were different than mine because obviously he's a linebacker and I was a quarterback. So it was different, but I will say that it was passionate.
Oh, sure. I mean, the guy's full of passion. To me, he was a big phony. That's all I didn't like about him, but I've never met him. There's a lot of people. So he's down in South Florida, I think, a lot. He lives there most of the year. And I've actually talked to people who run in the same like card and cigar circles as him.
Yeah.
And they say he's awesome. Like, absolutely.
I'm telling you, he is. I mean, like, I know that he has issues and has had issues.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, working personally with him and working with almost every, I've never not gotten along with anybody that I've worked with, maybe with the exception of Deion when we were together. That was it.
There was speaking of like this era and going back to the early 2000s. And I might have brought this up on the show at some point, but there was an SNL cartoon, Saturday Night Live cartoon, during the time of that Super Bowl. It was Disney's Ray of Light.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was like all the horrible things that happened in Disney movies where Ray Lewis was a witness, but then didn't see it. Like when Bambi got shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And there'd be this cartoon, Ray Lewis going, oh, I didn't see nothing.
Hey,
when Mustafa in The Lion King?
Just remember, what did Carmelo say? I don't remember.
Snitches get stitches.
Stitches, yeah, sometimes. Right. Ditches, yeah. That's right. So, but he didn't originate that, by the way.
I know he didn't. I know.
But yes, he had him. It was after Simba's dad, Mustafa, dies in The Lion King. This cartoon Ray Lewis in this bit is standing on top of Pride Rock going, I didn't kill no mother effing lion. It was the greatest thing. I didn't see nobody do nothing. It is a great, it is one of the funnier sketches, it, cartoons. It was like, I actually think they called it TV Funhouse during that time. It was the cartoons. And I remember crying laughing during that whole thing. What a hilarious idea that was. Like, Bambi's mom gets shot, Ray Lewis is there. Mustafa dies, Ray Lewis is there. It was amazing.
You know what was amazing about Ray Lewis is I didn't realize how many things he was involved in, like, off the field. And I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about, like, business things.
Yeah.
He was involved in, like, 97 different things. Yeah. I don't know how he could keep it all straight.
He probably couldn't. You know,
yeah,
unless he had a lot of people working for
but
him.
I will say, man, working with him and being around him, you can understand why he was the unquestioned leader in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy's a legend down there.
Yeah, I mean, the intensity was just, you could feel it every single day.
You know, it's funny. I feel like, and I could be mistaken, but just using my own memory, thinking back on his career, like, I feel like it went quickly with him. Like, there was an injury, and then, like, he just... He went from being a 10 for all those years in a row to just like falling off a cliff.
My last game of my career was in 1997, and we were playing the Baltimore Ravens, and I believe it was his second year. I believe it was his second year. Maybe it's third, I'm not sure. But I had never seen anybody so fast and so violent on the field. Now, I played against Ronnie Lott, Mike Singletary,
yeah,
Lawrence Taylor. And all those guys were Hall of Famers. All those guys were off the charts. All those guys were different types of people. And you could tell how great they were on the field. And Dion, for that matter.
Yeah.
And you knew that they were special, that they were a level above everybody else they were playing against. But I had never seen anybody fly around the field the way that he did in that one game. And I remember walking off the field with him. And I told them this story. I said, you know, you can go down as the greatest middle linebacker this league has ever seen, because I have never seen what I just saw on the field. And that's when I realized, part of me realized, like, you know, man, I don't know if I can continue to do this with guys like this running around.
I mean, that's the ultimate compliment, is making a former NFL MVP contemplate retirement by the way you played.
Well, I mean, my feet were killing me.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah,
but I have to say, watching that and just feeling it, and we won the game, by the way.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was going to be great. I didn't know he was going to have all the issues, because I think it was right after that. That was that Super Bowl that year where he got in trouble down in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, that was not
was that
the
2 years ago.
That was the 90. That was the 2000 season.
So that was the Tennessee Rams Super Bowl that I was doing on TV.
Yeah,
that's what that was.
Right, but yeah. So it was because there was the Giants and the Ravens that year. That was the year, the 2000 Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Is that when he got in trouble?
Yeah. That was it.
No,
right?
No. It was the Atlanta. It happened in Atlanta.
Okay. So was it the?
It was the Rams and it was the Titans.
Oh, so the Ravens weren't.
They weren't in the Super Bowl. He was out partying with his buddies.
I just remember there being a Shannon Sharp interview. I thought in like the Super Bowl setting. It might have been. You know what? It might have been in 2000 in the Super Bowl setting. They were still asking questions about.
Yes, that's exactly probably what happened.
Yeah, but yes. So okay, now I get it.
Yeah, it was hard to remember all those things, but I do remember walking off that field going, "Holy God, man, this guy is unbelievable."
By the way, speaking of walking off the field, did you find the Jerry Rice going to Disneyland clip that Boomer was looking for earlier?
No, it was he was the MVP, but it was Joe Montana who went to.
Oh, Disneyland. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. I wasn't looking for it, by the way.
Oh, I thought you were looking.
No, I was not looking for it. Again, I misremembered.
Oh, okay. So why did Jerry not get it? What, Jerry didn't want to go to Disneyland?
No, I think if I remember correctly, and maybe Phil Simms, who was the first one to do it, would be better to explain this. I think what happens is Disney goes to a player on the team. On each team and says, if you win, you're going and we're shooting the commercial with you.
Oh, okay.
If you lose, you're out.
All right.
I was out.
Right, you were out, but I wonder why Jerry Rice was out. I mean, I guess they had to do it beforehand.
They probably had the contract. They had the contract with Joe Montana.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's right, too. That's correct. Say that on the air, Fleegs.
So there's a Wikipedia page for the I'm Going to Disney World campaign. It has every athlete and every sport who did it, starting with Phil. That's how we know Montana did it in 89 and 90. And there's a passage in 2000, Ray Lewis was passed over because of the murder trial he was involved in. And so Trent Dilfer got to say it instead.
Well, there you have it. Okay.
That's funny how it works. I think that was actually part of the SNL sketch. If you go back and watch it, it was like, and we, you know.
I found it online. I was going to watch it during the break. It's not on YouTube, so it's on one of those other sites.
God, it's from a long time ago. I mean, obviously 25 years ago. But it's, they think they mentioned something about it. We had to send Trent Dilfer to Disney World instead. All right. It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco back. An update for us. What's up, Jerry?
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. This is the way things got started last night for the Yankees.
1-1. Soto drives it. Right field, it's deep. Fletcher back on the track. At the wall, it is gone. Goodbye. Soto again.
Cha-ching.
It's 1-0 Yankees.
It was, and so
is that a cha-ching?
Cha-ching, yeah.
Wow. Cha-ching. So now they have 3 versus Detroit. And let me ask you this question. I'm looking at their schedule right now on the ESPN baseball schedule deal, and Sunday night they have the game.
That's the Little League World Series game, I believe.
Oh, it is.
In Williamsport, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. So, yeah. So, they played Detroit Sunday night. And, these are 3 teams. Then it comes Cleveland. And then they got Colorado and Washington. Like, this is where they got to really
stack some wins.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. And they should. And they likely will. Here was a couple of things from this. So, Soto hits the home run. He had 3 the night before. Then homers in this first at bat there. You move ahead into the game, and this is where Soto's up again with a base open, and they decide to pitch to Aaron Judge. So this was Susan and Emmanuel going through the at-bat.
Well, that's the first time he's been intentionally walked to bring up Judge. Kind of odd. Mm.
2-0 outside, so 3-0 as they're pitching around Judge.
So you would think so. And then the 3-0 pitch, which you could even still make the case they were pitching around him.
3-0. Judge drives it. Deep left field. Way back and gone. Goodbye. On a 3-0 pitch, Judge lasers home run number 300. The fastest ever to hit that mark and blows this one wide open in the air.
And again, Emmanuel on the fan. Yeah, by like 100 and I don't even know what it was, 100 and something games. It was Ralph Kiner, I guess, was the fastest prior to that.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this, as you were saying, it looked like they were trying to pitch around him, and this ball that he hits is high and tight and out of the strike zone.
That is up and in.
Yeah.
And he still turns on it and puts it into the bullpen for a home run, career shot number 300. And the Yankees do win the game by the score of 10-2.
You're a White Sox player?
Oof. Yeah. I'm wondering, well, you don't have a guy like this.
Exactly.
Here was Judge on Yes. Happy to do it when it counts.
Like I said earlier, you know, I was hoping it came in a win. You know, we were kind of down early in the game. Not really getting much going early on except that Soto homer. But, no, it was great. You know, just throughout the whole game, guys were having great at-bats.
And they did it as a team. One of those guys who had a nice game was one Oswaldo Cabrera. He was with Susan talking about scoring from second on that fly ball, tagging up.
I saw the opportunity right there when he died for the ball, and I just tried to turn early to show Rojas to use... Give me the opportunity.
That's Luis Rojas, who gave him the opportunity, and he scored all the way from second base, which was kind of fun. Now, middle of this, it's funny what people tweet at certain times.
Uh-oh.
So in the middle of this game, Dominic Leon comes in for the Tigers, and this just popped up on my feed, and this has to be at the time he either gave up the runs or was coming into the game. One of the White Sox reporters, I think it was a White Sox reporter, posted Frank the Tank. This is probably when Leon was with the Mets.
Jiggity jig, it's Dominic Leone. Jiggity jig, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jiggity jig, it's a fever reliever. He really cannot pitch at all.
Just trails out.
Man, what a genius.
Frank, he really is. That stuff's like right off the top of his head. He's really prolific.
I don't know what that is.
He's prolific.
And then do you remember... Maybe 2 weeks ago when Ricky Ricardo was doing the game, he had a birthday gift he wanted to give Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel wants to make sure that he doesn't renege on that gift.
This top of the fourth is sponsored by Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Book a relaxing massage or facial after the game. And Ricky Ricardo, you're on the clock. Still waiting for that facial.
God. So... We shall see if Ricky offers him a facial. Do not know. Or gives him one. Don't know if that will happen.
Well, Emmanuel's waiting for it.
Yes, he is.
He's waiting there.
Had a lot of time to think.
Yeah. You think after Emmanuel said that, he was like, oh.
Think he's probably, I honestly think he's playing into it.
I do too.
Okay. I think he actually knows what's going on and is hoping that we'd probably play it.
Well, and like children, here we are.
I mean, dude, that climax just hits you right in the face.
Exactly. All right, Mets A's last night at Citi Field. I get to the nuts and bolts first with the Met win.
Alonso rolls one down the left field line. Base hit past the diving Hernandez, rolling all the way to the corner. Martinez scores. Bader coming around third, motoring to the plate. The throw cut off in left. Alonso doubles in two, and it is now 9-1 New York.
You want to feel old? That's Mike Cameron's kid, by the way, in the outfield for the A's.
Really?
That was Keith Rad in WCBS.
Well, Mike Cameron was at the game last night.
Yeah, and they talked to him about it and everything, but just... I mean, it doesn't feel like that long ago Mike Cameron was playing for the Mets.
I agree. I mean, him and Carlos Beltran, that collision... I had a feel-old moment when we went and went back to that SNL Ray Lewis sketch that I was talking about, and it's not on YouTube. It's on some other format, and it looked like someone was recording it like with a video camera off of their television.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a VHS, which then they recorded off of television.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, my God. It was 25 years ago,
yeah.
Right?
It's a long time ago.
It was from
now.
February 10th, 2001, right after the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And so 23 years. Here was Alonso on SNY. They win 9-1. He also homered, drove in a few, 4-for-4, had to have it.
I mean, it's just great to snag this win, even up the series. Hopefully we can go tomorrow. I mean, whole lineup did a great job of executing the game plan.
They did, up and down the lineup. Here was Francisco Lindor. He also homered. Austin Adams, you remember the night before, was all gyrating in the OMGing and MFing after he got out of a big spot. He says, doesn't care what he did. We celebrate. We do what we do.
I will be, for sure. Let Adam do whatever he's got to do. I'm worried about my teammates. And we've been doing that all season long. Not all season, but we've been doing that for 3 months, I would say. So.
And they're going to keep doing it. Now, in terms of gyrating and doing different things, Joey Estes was pitching for the A's last night.
Sean Estes's kid?
You know, I don't know. Wouldn't be shocked. I don't know the answer to that. And he hits there's a shot down the third baseline. Third baseman, I guess, could have made a great play. He doesn't. Ball goes down the line, and you got Estes waving his arms and everything on the field, to which Ron Darling on SNY.
One thing I could not stand as a player, and I can't stand in the booth, is one showing up, your infielders. Everyone is trying to make the plays. Not one person in the history of the game that tried to make an error. And two, when you give up a shot like that, and it gets by, you should never have that reaction, and you should never rebuff him when you're coming in to the dugout.
And they had video of him walking right past the kid and just ignoring him in the dugout. So then,
Estes, and by the way, I mean, he basically says, like, catch the effing ball. You can read
it. It looks like it, yeah.
He's a 100% showing him up.
Rip, by the way.
And by the way, Ron is wrong about that. In the history of the game, no one's trying to make an error. The Black Sox scandal. People were... They were throwing games.
That's a very good point.
But anyway, go ahead.
Here was Estes, the response.
There's a thing going around right now, and I would never show my teammates that if you look at the clip, I was reacting out of emotion, and it was after the ball got way past Darryl.
Yeah, but that is what we're saying.
Like, yeah, he's emotional. That's
and
what he is.
And he would just lastly.
If you look at the clip, it's Alonzo. We're getting ready to round third base, and I'm like, throw the ball in. Like, I don't want that run to score.
Right.
Oh, okay. So he's trying to get the outfield.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
But also saying that he's emotional, which is what Ron's talking. Like, you're emotional, and by doing that, it doesn't look good. But
no, it doesn't. By the way, Evan Roberts tweeted this.
Yeah.
After the Mets win last night. Needed that W, now win the damn series. Okay, fine.
Agreed.
Standard Mets take on X. So what time you think did he send that
11.
Out? 11 o'clock. Yeah, time on this, you think he would send that out? Needed that W, now win the
maybe
damn series.
12 if he recorded a Rico Brown.
I feel like 1:15 and it's probably...
1:15? 1:15. Wow, that's extreme. All right. What would you say if I told you 3:40 a.m.?
3:40?
3:40 a.m.
The hell is he doing up at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know. Prostate spot, maybe. Not sure.
Yeah, but why would you be tweeting? Yeah, I deal with that. Why would you be tweeting at 4 o'clock in the morning, though? Even if you just got to go up to use the bathroom for an enlarged prostate.
Maybe he just felt like, you know, his fans needed to hear from him.
And he's like, oh, you know, I didn't send out a tweet after this game, and the Rico community needs to hear something from me. So let me send this out. I don't know.
It's a bit odd.
I mean, it's a little concerning. I mean, I don't think I've ever rolled over, looked at the phone, and at that hour, well, actually, I'm up at that hour, but like, let's say midnight for us, and then responded to something, unless it would be an emergency, and thank God I haven't dealt with one of those.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
3:40 a.m., Evan Roberts, always locked in.
He is locked in.
Always locked in, yes.
Jose Quintana, the start today, 110 over at Citi Field. Mets 2 behind Atlanta for the third wild card. The Braves beat the Giants 13-2. At 49ers camp, George Kittle wanted to let the media know he's watching.
So you guys are out there at every practice. You guys watch us all the time, but there's a special teams period where I catch some footballs, and I like to observe you guys.
And he's not happy with their style. I know you're going to find this shocking, Boomer.
You guys really need to up your sneaker game. It's absolutely atrocious.
Huh.
I got some Vomeros. Those are fire. And Grant wears Vans every single day. But you wear those every day, so I need to switch those up. But I observe all your guys' shoes, and I am disappointed in you guys as a community. So if we could up those, please. It's year 8, guys. Let's figure this out together.
Okay, fine. Buy them new shoes then. In Denver, the Broncos.
By the way, George Kittle, you don't know this, but George Kittle he's a sneakerhead.
Hey, they had for his birthday on that receiver thing.
Yes.
Him hanging from
He's got them all over the place. Yep. And he's got huge closets full of sneakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people are obsessed. That's not one of the things that I ever was. I caught that bug.
Isn't
but
Brandon one of those guys? He's huge into the sneakers. I don't know about like collecting them, but
I know he likes his Jordans. He's talked about that. And there's a lot of people, but there's some people like George Kittle. I have a friend I grew up with who has just got closets and closets filled with this stuff.
What do you do with it? You to hold them to sell them?
I don't know. It's a good question. Just like, you know, what do you do collecting anything, I guess, but...
Well, I mean, at least there are certain things you collect them hoping they have crazy... I guess the same thing would be at sneakers. But if you wear them, don't you lose value if you wear them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you, what you do is you leave them to your next of kin when you die.
I mean,
and they can do whatever they want with them.
I mean, I think maybe we're overthinking and just people like the sneakers and like, I'll buy them, I'll wear them. I like having a collection and it,
and maybe
it passes the time in this bizarre world that we're living in.
The minimalists would not like that.
The minimalists?
The minimalists would not like all those
wasting
sneakers.
All the space.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of minimalists, I did go into Gio's office after the show yesterday. Martin Travers did one hell of a job hanging all that stuff
up. I'm sure he did.
And he's got some design understanding in him.
Interior decorator.
Yeah.
Deep down in that. He's a complex guy, Martin Travers. Yeah, a lot of things going on.
Hmm.
He served in the military.
Yes, he did.
He's an engineer. I believe it's something like he was like a male gymnast for a little bit too, or something.
Didn't he try out not for the Olympics?
Not for some nothing, but I mean, you know,
it's a lot of strength to be a gymnast.
Yeah, but couldn't you just say he was a gymnast?
Good point. I got no rebuttal on that.
Okay. Oh, because you said male gymnast.
Yeah,
I got no rebuttal.
What kind of gymnast would he be?
Yeah, that reminds me of when my second interview when I was in Pittsburgh. I called Dave Wonstadt came on and I said the men's football coach. People were making fun of me for that.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but yeah, Martin's also a gymnast.
He's very accomplished.
Yeah, well, the male, you know, U.S. male gymnastics, not a thing.
He also exudes a lot of confidence.
He does. He like should.
That's his military background.
Probably. When something's going wrong, he's like, everybody calm down. I got it.
Yeah, of course.
He takes care of it.
He's seen worse, gone through worse.
That is very true.
Perfect guy to have back there.
That's right. And the Patriots trade Matthew Judon to the Falcons for a third-round draft pick.
Did you see this Drew Gilbert, the Mets prospect, Drew Gilbert?
Got hit in the nuts by
bad as I've ever seen.
I know. The only thing that's not as bad is it wasn't a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but it's still,
that is the most direct ball sack hit I've ever seen in baseball.
What's odd is I guess he turned into it because it was a curveball and he was going to go swing, so his body took him that way.
Oof. It almost looked like it was staged.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he turned around like, hit me in the nuts! and they did.
Square in the nuts, too.
Yes, square is true. All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Forward Tough studio. It's a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. Got a pair of field level tickets to the Yankees and the Rockies at Yankee Stadium. On Friday, August 23rd, right now, be caller 7 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And the fans.
These nuts.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the fan at CBS Sports Network. I have something here for you.
All right.
1 second.
Yeah.
This only happens. I don't plan ahead with these things. What I do is if I see one of these headlines that is crazy, then I will immediately just come up with other headlines and do these guess the real headline games. So I don't go looking for these things. I just, if it comes across my feed, I'm like, this is a perfect one to throw into guess the correct headline now, or the true headline, or the real headline. Sorry, guess the real headline in the New York Post. So in the break, I wrote down the real one and then came up with three that are not real. I take a lot of pride in this game. Now, I was sitting here. You were talking to me. I was writing furiously. My brain was working. I don't even know what you said to me.
I know. I was wondering why you weren't paying attention to me, but now I know why.
So I was writing all this stuff down because I had to come up with these things. So those three are not true. Eddie and Fleegs, we can get involved in this as well. One is true. Okay. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Stingray caught on New Jersey beach. Onlookers stunned by size of creature's testicles. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two. Son shot father in the face over argument over stinky feet. Son shot father in the face over argument about stinky feet. Okay?
Okay.
Number three. Kamala Harris supporter urinates in cups and runs lemonade stand in front of Trump Tower. Lemonade in quotes. Kamala Harris supporter urinates in cups, runs lemonade stand in front of Trump Tower. All right.
Okay.
Number four. Competitive butt wiping. The grossest sport you never heard of takes Denmark by storm.
Okay, I'm going the last one.
You're going competitive butt wiping.
100%.
Competitive butt wiping, the grossest sport you never heard of, takes Denmark by storm. That's what Boomer is going for.
I will say this. Whatever the real one is, I think you should be a headline writer. Because the other three are just as good.
Well, thank you. And I come up with them in like 2 minutes, and I take pride in this.
Yes.
Fleeks, you need to hear any of these again, or are you ready to pick the one?
No, I'm ready. I'm with Boomer. I think it's competitive butt wiping. I was going to go with the father and son, but once you said that last one, that's
okay.
Got to be it.
All right, two competitive butt wiping. So if you guys get this right, then my magic touch is gone. Eddie, which one do you believe is the real headline?
The stinky feet shot.
Stinky feet shot. Well, I have to say, someone got me. And it's Eddie Scazzeri. Eddie Scazzeri got me this time. Did you see that? Because you're looking at your computer.
No, I was just looking for something with butt and wipes in the Al Butt folder.
Yeah.
So you came up with the butt wiping Netherlands thing.
Yeah, I did. And that was the last one.
That's great.
And that was the last one I wrote.
That's impressive. That seemed like the hardest one to make up. That's why I went with it.
Competitive butt wiping, the grossest sport you never heard of, takes Denmark by storm.
Yeah, I know that the raid testicle thing is not a thing.
Okay.
So that was A. And then the... I thought with number three, we're just trying to get to bait Boomer into picking that one.
Yeah, I was proud of it. I like that one. I mean, running a lemonade stand with your own urine.
And of the other two, the getting shot because they were arguing about stinky feet, that seemed more realistic. That's why I chose it.
Son shot father in the face over argument over about stinky feet.
Wow.
So, yeah, here it is. And by the way, the reason the stingray one, the reason I brought that up, I went to the beach yesterday, and there was a guy who caught on, he was surf casting, and he caught a stingray, and I didn't see it, but he told me that the thing had giant balls on it. So that's where, and everybody was stunned, so that's where I came up with that one. An Iowa man has been accused of shooting his father in the face in an argument about his stinky feet, police said. David Carpenter was arrested and charged with attempted murder and child endangerment on Sunday after calling the cops, admitting he shot his father while his child was in the room. Police were called into the family's Burlington home around 9:30, following the gunshots. Carpenter's father, William Carpenter, told police that an intense argument unfolded after he told his son his feet stink. As the fight escalated, David Carpenter said he made a comment about shooting his father and went into his bedroom to retrieve a firearm, according to the criminal complaint. So that seems like, to me, tip of the iceberg spot, or maybe, no, sorry, straw that breaks the camel's back spot.
Yes.
That's what that was, where there's a lot of pent-up anger there, and the stinky feet thing was just the
father's been on the son's ass for a long time.
Right.
That's what this sounds like to me.
Right. So, it's potentially a misleading headline. I mean, it's true, but it's like this is just a very contentious relationship probably between these two.
But the stinky feet thing was what, you know, set or triggered.
Put
the
him
son.
Over the edge.
Yeah.
Son shot father in the face. Over
I definitely
about
thought
stinky
the butt
feet.
Wiping thing was true.
The specificity of taking Denmark by storm is what got me. That was incredible.
Denmark does.
I was thinking, because we were coming back from a break, and I was just finishing that one, and I was thinking of, I almost went South Korea. That's where I first went, but then that didn't sound right to me. Like, take South Korea by storm.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I got to come up with another one. And then I was thinking Sweden, and then that didn't sound right. And then I was like, Denmark. That's
you
the
know,
one.
If you would have said South Korea, you might have got me.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah, just because of that whole whatever that show, but well, those crazy shows they have.
And, oh, okay.
And the Danes.
Oh, he's thinking of like Squid Game.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but the Danes, you know, a little more reserved, perhaps. And by the way, I did Google stingray testicles. I was wrong. They're quite big.
Yeah. So there you go. They said it was, they were like, the kids were appalled by it. The kids that were on the beach, like, oh, like they flipped the thing around. It was like, and they were colored. They were purplish, they told me, these things.
Yeah, it looks like what hangs off a pickup truck.
Yeah. We had Google stingray balls before the break.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Send them ball
ball hammock underwear.
So, you know what? You can't do stingray balls because that doesn't
testicles,
sound.
Testicles,
yeah. Mm. All right. Oh, yeah. There they are. Quite large. So I did miss that. There's a ton of stingrays that are coming through South Shore right now in the ocean. It's the
breeding season or something?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the flat face stingray or something.
Okay.
It's that one. I don't know what the hell.
You ever see a manta ray
that that killed the crocodile hunter?
That's a good question. That was in Australia somewhere, wasn't it? It wasn't like off the coast of
yes,
Fire Island. Let's see. I'll tell you exactly which these stingrays are. They're all over the place right now. All the sea life around Long Island and New Jersey these days is the cow nose.
It's popping.
It's popping, right? The cow nose stingray is migrating as we speak right now. Them and their giant testicles are moving right in. Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network. I have something here for you.
All right.
1 second.
Yeah.
This only happens. I don't plan ahead with these things. What I do is if I see one of these headlines that is crazy, then I will immediately just come up with other headlines and do these guess the real headline games. So I don't go looking for these things. I just, if it comes across my feed, I'm like, this is a perfect one to throw into guess the correct headline. Now, or the true headline, or the real headline. Sorry, guess the real headline in the New York Post. So in the break, I wrote down the real one and then came up with three that are not real. I take a lot of pride in this game. Now, I was sitting here, you were talking to me, I was writing furiously, my brain was working, I don't even know what you said to me.
I know, I was wondering why you weren't paying attention but now I know why.
So I was writing all this stuff down, because I had to come up with these things. So there's three are not true, Eddie and Fleegs, we can get involved in this as well. One is true. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Stingray caught on New Jersey beach, onlookers stunned by size of creature's testicles. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, son shot father in the face over argument over stinky feet. Son shot father in the face over argument about stinky feet. Okay?
Okay.
Number three, Kamala Harris supporter urinates in cups and runs lemonade stand in front of Trump Tower. Lemonade in quotes. Kamala Harris supporter urinates in cups, runs lemonade stand in front of Trump Tower. All right.
Okay.
Number four. Competitive butt wiping. The grossest sport you never heard of takes Denmark by storm.
Okay. I'm going the last one.
You're going competitive butt wiping.
100%.
Competitive butt wiping. The grossest sport you never heard of takes Denmark by storm. That's what Boomer is going for.
I will say this. whatever the real one is, I think you should be a headline writer. Because the other three are just as good.
Well, thank you. And I come up with them in like 2 minutes, and I take pride in this.
Yes.
Fleeks, you need to hear any of these again, or are you ready to pick the one?
No, I'm ready. I'm with Boomer. I think it's competitive butt wiping. I was going to go with the father and son, but once you said that last one, that's
okay.
Got to be it.
All right, two competitive butt wiping. So if you guys get this right, then my magic touch is gone. Eddie, which one do you believe is the real headline?
The stinky feet shot.
Stinky feet shot. Well, I have to say, someone got me. And it's Eddie Scazzeri. Eddie Scazzeri got me this time. Did you see that? Because you're looking at your computer.
No, I was just looking for something with butt and wipes in the Al Butt folder.
Yeah,
so you came up with the butt wiping Netherlands thing.
Yeah, I did. And that was the last one.
That's great.
And that was the last one I wrote.
That's impressive. That seemed like the hardest one to make up. That's why I went with it.
Competitive butt wiping, the grossest sport you never heard of, takes Denmark by storm.
Yeah, I know that the raid testicle thing is not a thing.
Okay.
So that was A. And then the... I thought with number three, we're just trying to get to bait Boomer into picking that one.
Yeah, I was proud of it. I like that one. I mean, running a lemonade stand with your own urine.
And of the other two, that the getting shot because they were arguing about Stevie, that seemed more realistic. That's why I chose it.
Son shot father in the face over argument over about stinky feet.
Wow.
Here it is. And by the way, the reason the stingray one, the reason I brought that up, I went to the beach yesterday, and there was a guy who caught on. He was surf casting, and he caught a stingray. And I didn't see it, but he told me that the thing had giant balls on it. So that's where and everybody was stunned. So that's where I came up with that one. An Iowa man has been accused of shooting his father in the face in an argument about his stinky feet, police said. David Carpenter was arrested and charged with attempted murder and child endangerment on Sunday after calling the cops and admitting he shot his father while his child was in the room. Police were called into the family's Burlington home around 9:30, following the gunshots. Carpenter's father, William Carpenter, told police that an intense argument unfolded after he told his son his feet stink. As the fight escalated, David Carpenter said he made a comment about shooting his father and went into his bedroom to retrieve a firearm, according to the criminal complaint. So that seems like, to me, tip of the iceberg spot, or maybe, no, sorry, straw that breaks the camel's back spot.
Yes.
That's what that was, where there's a lot of pent-up anger there, and the stinky feet thing was just the
father's been on the son's ass for a long time.
Right.
That's what this sounds like to me.
Right. So, that I mean, it's potentially a misleading headline. I mean, it's true, but it's like this is just a very contentious relationship probably between these two.
But the stinky feet thing was what, you know, set or triggered
put him
son.
Over the edge.
Yeah.
Son shot father in the face. Over
I definitely
about
thought
stinky
the butt
feet.
Wiping thing was true.
The specificity of taking Denmark by storm is what got me. That was incredible.
Denmark, yes.
I was thinking, because we were coming back from a break, and I was just finishing that one, and I was thinking of, I almost went South Korea. That's where I first went, but then that didn't sound right to me. Like, take South Korea by storm?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I got to come up with another one. And then I was thinking Sweden, and then that didn't sound right. And then I was like, Denmark. That's
you know,
one.
If you would have said South Korea, you might have got me.
Really?
Yeah, just because of that whole whatever that show, but well, those crazy shows they have.
And, oh, okay.
And the Danes.
Oh, he's thinking of like Squid Game.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But the Danes, you know, a little more reserved, perhaps. And by the way, I did Google stingray testicles. I was wrong. They're quite big.
Yeah. So there you go. They said it was, they were like, the kids were appalled by it. The kids that were on the beach, like, oh, like they flipped the thing around. It was like, and they were colored, they were purplish, they told me, these things.
Yeah, it looks like what hangs off a pickup truck.
Yeah. We had Google stingray balls before the break.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Send them ball hammock underwear.
So, you know what, you can't do stingray balls because that doesn't
count. Testicles, yeah.
Testicles. Yeah. Mm. All right. Oh, yeah. There they are. Quite large. So I did miss that. There's a ton of stingrays that are coming through South Shore right now in the ocean. It's the
breeding season or something?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the flat face stingray or something.
Okay.
It's that one.
I don't know what the hell.
You ever see a manta ray
that that killed the crocodile hunter?
That's a good question. That was in Australia somewhere, wasn't it? It wasn't like off the coast of
yes,
Fire Island. Let's see. I'll tell you exactly which these stingrays are. They're all over the place right now. All the sea life around Long Island and New Jersey these days is the cow nose.
It's popping.
It's popping, right? The cow nose stingray is migrating as we speak right now. Them and their giant testicles are moving right in. Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.